Some 168,000 Hawaii residents suffer from chronic kidney disease, with 4,000 people needing dialysis treatment on any given day. With 700 new dialysis patients added each year, treatment facilities struggle to keep up and run into a logjam as they await Department of Health certification. That's a concern for Representative John Mizuno, House Health and Human Services Chair, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning, Rep. Mizuno.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What's the issue here? What's the holdup?
Unfortunately, there's an urgency to access the dialysis treatment care, and the holdup is the process, the approval process. It's called a certificate of need, and it's a two-part process. One part is that the state has to go in, do the initial survey, review, and certify. Once they finalize...
Who gets this certificate of need? A treatment facility?
Correct. Okay. In this case, it's a dialysis clinics that are trying to open up. The logjam that you talked about is, unfortunately, we have dialysis clinics that are actually constructed. They have equipment ready to go. And unfortunately, the logjam happens when the certificate of need process takes a little longer than we thought. Unfortunately, this comes out to, if you're looking at time, it can be up to 3 years or more, which is, I used the word before, unconscionable. Unfortunately, I stand by that, and I think that we need to streamline the process or expedite the process to get our people the dialysis treatment they need.
What would it take to jumpstart this process?
Good question. And we did this last year, so it's not out of the question. Last year, they hired independent contractors from Arizona. The state paid an additional $140,000 for these surveyors to come in and provide the certificate of need for the state. And after that, shortly thereafter, the feds came in and they approved a number of dialysis clinics. I think short-term solution, we'd probably have to fall back on what we did last year. The long-term solution would be to look at the certificate of need process and see how we can streamline it, because for Hawaii, we actually have a higher per capita rate of people with chronic kidney disease that need dialysis treatment than the rest of the nation.
Is the staffing just not there at the Department of Health today?
Correct. And you know, I don't want to vilify the Department of Health or the executive branch. I think they're doing the best they can with what they have. Nevertheless, I think we need to move forward and see how we can streamline the process, especially because our need is so great. Again, we have a higher rate of chronic kidney disease than the rest of the nation, and that's why there's an urgency to open up more clinics, dialysis clinics in the state.
Well, a healthcare crisis almost automatically carries with it a sense of urgency. Trouble being, as you know, from somebody who sees all the demands that are made on state funds, there are an awful lot of demands like this.
Absolutely. There, health and human services alone, if you look at the pie chart of the budget, will cover over 66% of that from the get-go. And so it's hard to address all the needs. There are so many needs out there with the homeless, with mental health issues, and now with dialysis access. So we're trying our best. Nevertheless, it is a very difficult and complex issue, and that we'll continue to work on to try to streamline and get everyone access to health care as best we can.
At what point, though, does this intersection of need and shortage of funds reach a kind of critical mass?
Exactly. Perfect point. Exactly what we're talking about today. Again, you have a, again, not picking on the Department of Health, they don't have enough funds. And so what they did last year was they had to get emergency funds and appropriated $140,000 to hire independent contractors from Arizona. We're seeing that again now. And unfortunately, it's something that we need to address, lest we have any dialysis clinics that are not going to be opened up or going to be delayed further. So that's an example of possibly a lack of funds and more communication between the legislative branch and the executive branch. I think if we can get on the same page, then we can at least address this issue. But you're right, there are a number of other issues that still come up even after this.
Well, Rep. Mizuno, what's life like today for a dialysis patient? You know, what if you live on Molokai or you know, off on Hawaii Island somewhere?
Excellent question. It all depends. Molokai might be a little difficult. Big Island is really hard. We have, I think, 10% of the dialysis patients really need to travel outside of their given area to get their dialysis treatment because they don't have enough clinics there. And on West Oahu, because of population growth, we need to open up more dialysis clinics there. The typical day for if I was a dialysis patient, it's a hit or miss. If I lived in the area and early on I was already getting my dialysis treatments in Waipahu, I probably would be fine. If I were to get be certified for dialysis treatment today and I lived hypothetically in Waipahu, I may have to travel to Mililani or Kaneohe or Hawaii Kai to get my treatment because the Waipahu clinic is already fully scheduled with all the dialysis patients. And they continue to come in. They call them like pods, groups. They're almost like family because they come at the same time, three times a week. What happens, though, is that slate is fully covered, and therefore I'm going to have to go maybe the other side of the island to get my dialysis treatment.
But could you? I mean, would a dialysis patient run into a situation where it just wasn't available?
It could. It could. And that's the unfortunate thing. When that happens, he or she will have to go to the ER and get dialysis treatment through the ER, and that's going to be 3 to 4 times the cost of a regular scheduled dialysis treatment.
This is what happens when any kind of health care falls short. People end up in the ER, and that's where the whole cost explosion of health care comes from. I mean, you keep hear that on issue after issue, don't you?
You're spot on with that analysis. And again, to go on a slight tangent here, when we talk about the inundation of emergency ER services, in 2016, Queens Hospital reported that it cost $10 million alone in unnecessary ER visits, and it calculated to $90 million in Medicaid funds from unnecessary ER visits by the homeless. And again, we're not going to vilify any group. That's an example, though, where we have to be a little more streamlined and smart in addressing their needs. Perhaps they need better outreach counselors to address their needs. Many of the unnecessary ER visits were they just needed food, they wanted to take a shower, they wanted a place to sleep. And this can be easily addressed with a outreach social worker and other services that we can give them. Certainly, we can save Queens $10 million a year on unnecessary ER visits, as well as the $90 million in Medicaid funds that we didn't have to pay for those services.
It's also an example of how different problems like homelessness and healthcare intersect.
Absolutely. We've said this a lot. Many times, people tend to look at healthcare as one segment only, and human services, homeless, what have you, as another segment. But they're very intertwined.
They're not separate silos.
Absolutely. They're together.
Yeah. And yet, when that happens, this is that whole thing about critical mass. You know, at what point do these problems just intersect to the point where there just isn't funding to cover all of them?
And that's part of it. And that's why it's good that we're addressing it now rather than later. With the healthcare costs rising and unnecessary ER visits costing a hospital, a single hospital, $10 million in 1 year, we need to address this and we can do a better job. And it's not that we're reducing healthcare. We're still providing reasonable access to healthcare, but we're saving money. And those monies could be used for other laudable causes. For example, if we save $10 million just alone for Queens Hospital, that could have easily been used for opening more dialysis clinics in the state of Hawaii. So it's just being smart with our funds and putting the funds where they need to be and avoiding unnecessary healthcare costs.
Well, as this issue continues being discussed, we'd like to keep in touch with you, Rep. Mizuno. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, and thank you very much for having me.
Of course. John Mizuno represents Oahu's Kalihi Valley and Kamehameha Heights in the Hawaii State House of Representatives and chairs the House Health and Human Services Committee.